The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there. I am not...
Oh, you're not me.
No. And I am also not...
You're also not Jason Murray.
Okay. Well, who am I?
I'm not sure. Who are you this evening?
Look, does anyone really know who Gary Stark is?
Absolutely not. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
Yeah, and I'm DD Cup.
And I am still Jason Murray.
Indeed, you have not changed in the last 30 seconds. Welcome to The Gadget Grill here on to RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. Jason.
This was your attempt to just like...
fill in time.
Like switch things up a little bit for the intro, wasn't
it? I've got to mess things up and mess people, you know, make things strange.
I just feel like it kind of backfired.
No, not at all. Not at all. If I've put you off your game, then well and good. That is my sole aim in life, to put people off their game and to get people upset confused. Did I get you conceived?
No, but I'm a little bit worried for the listener.
Okay, the listener, I'm sure, can cope. They're certainly more intelligent than the three of us combined.
Probably.
This is pretty much true, yes.
Jason, what have you been up to, mate? You didn't tell us about your trip to Adelaide yet.
Yeah.
That's because we've just opened the show.
Yeah, no, I know. I went to Adelaide for a wedding. I went over during this...
Anyone you know, or was it yours?
Yeah, no, it was...
Wasn't yours?
It was definitely someone I know.
Okay. you don't just fly to Adelaide and turn, there's a wedding, let me go in.
It's like the ultimate episode of Wedding Crashes.
Oh dear.
It's like extreme Wedding Crashes. You fly to a new city that you've never been to before. I had never been to Adelaide before this weekend.
Right.
Then you find a wedding, hopefully it's someone that you know, and then you crash the reception.
We don't wish that on your worst enemy, do you?
You are less likely to get removed from the wedding if it is someone that you know.
Good point.
Yeah. So yeah, I've had a quick whirlwind trip to Adelaide this weekend.
Melted. You would have melted.
No.
Wasn't it hot there?
No. It was.
You're going back.
It was
again?
Hot here.
Yeah. You're going back again for the next weekend, so you can go to the day-night cricket.
No.
Good. DD, what have you been up to?
Oh, look, just the usual. Working.
Working?
Yeah.
Did a little bit of shopping yesterday.
Work. A bit of shopping.
Yeah, we went out and bought ourselves a new smoker yesterday.
A new smoker?
Yeah, nothing to do with
the old smoker.
It was getting old and tired and...
Didn't
smoke as well. No, it was a high-maintenance one because it used charcoal.
So. A high-maintenance smoker? I've never heard of them.
No. It was because you couldn't get the temperature right, and getting a good temperature and a constant temperature for when you're smoking your meat. Important.
Can you just like hang it outside on Friday? It was 42 degrees. Like surely
there was no smoke. No bushfires.
I'm sure if you waited a while, it would have happened.
I know. Well, the trouble is that on Friday there was a total fire ban. Anyway, I think so.
Can you not use a smoker during a total fire ban?
This one, I think we can because it's an enclosed. Gas fire.
So we are literally talking the Gadget Grill, aren't we?
Oh, this is absolutely a Gadget Grill.
Well, it's a smoker,
not a grill. But I could use it as
still,
a grill.
It's still related to cooking meat, right?
It is, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, beautiful.
And we did some yesterday. We set it up and did some ribs and some lamb. And
Now I'm hungry. My God, and I just had dinner.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had it for lunch today. Yeah. It was lovely.
Yeah,
we had the smoker for lunch.
We did indeed.
It was pretty hard to carve up.
Need a little bit more diet in that diet, Jason. No, we cooked lunch on it, and the reason is, of course, because next Sunday, Thursday this week, of course, is Thanksgiving. Thursday this week is Thanksgiving, and we do our annual Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday next week, and so we have people coming round.
Sounds good.
Oh, it's always good. You want to join us? You want to come
around? Yeah, why not?
Come around. Why not?
Sure.
Do we
still have to do the show afterwards?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
It's lunch.
Awkward. Oh, it's lunch?
It's lunch.
Oh, it's all right. So you have lunch, then we sleep.
Then we sleep off the itis. We retire into a food coma for a couple of hours, and then we come to the station. If you want to come around, I'm sure we can make room. Dee's in shock, of course, that I've just invited you, but hey.
And you can't uninvite me now. It's gone out on live
exactly.
on the air.
Exactly.
What's another body?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't know whether my mum's coming or not.
Being a chef, you know, like I can cook for hundreds.
I can play the role of your mum for the day. Gary, I can't believe you haven't cleaned this room. Like, what is going on?
I doubt you'd ever come to any measure of his mother.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Well, hang on, Jason.
You have just given yourself the ultimate challenge.
Never. You could never be like
I'm going to be spending the entire week getting into character.
You've
now
got to study Jewish mothers then, very closely. Okay.
How's your Yiddish? I take that as not very good.
The only Yiddish I know is the fake Mel Brooks one.
It's closer than you think.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, we should get the show on the road.
Oh, my goodness, we're doing a show.
Yeah, we are doing a radio show. And this week, some important news came out.
Yeah, it's very important
news. No. This is serious because in the 60s, there was a song. It was in the 70s,
Wait,
actually.
You're talking about music. I'm talking about news.
No. Well, it was news about music. Because in the 70s, there was a song by a lady by the name of Carly Simon.
Yes.
And the song was called You're So Vain. And there was speculation about...
Did she finally tell people who it's about?
She finally told people this week.
Oh, wow. I thought she was never going to tell anyone.
She told people this week. Who do you think?
I have no idea.
No idea?
Well, I thought Warren Beatty.
And you're correct. It is officially now Warren Beatty.
I thought she said that it wasn't.
She did say it wasn't, but she's come out this week and said yes.
Do you think she's just sort of like wielding it like a baton she can use for the rest of her life? Like if someone annoys her, she can just go, that song, that was about you.
quite likely. Ladies and gentlemen, Carly Simon, You're So Vain.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Cat got your tongue.
Yes.
Or puppy.
Or something,
yeah. It is time on the Gadget Grill for the news.
News.
Yep. Okay.
I'm not giving you time to find your spot.
Time what?
I'm giving you time to find your spot on your tablet.
Oh, okay. No, I already had it.
Let's go.
I already had it. And the story that I'm going to lead with today is, of course, everybody is worried about breaches of security and their credit cards when they go into organisations and do shopping and whatever. Story just came out this week. Starwood, owner of Sheraton, Western and W Hotel chains, have been breached.
Oh, W,
Sheraton and Western.
Wow.
So okay, that's kind of big.
Mm. 54 of its North American locations have been infected with the software, with software that has harvested banking card information from payment terminals and cash registers.
Dang it, that's kind of bad.
Goodness me.
That is kind of bad. As compensation for those affected customers, they're going to give them 1 year free identity protection software. hey guys.
A bit late.
The horse has bolted.
Goodness me.
I was wondering where you were going with this. Now I know.
Oh, there it goes.
What's
Jason, will you go after that horse, please?
What are they giving the people that security for? They're the ones that are lacking the security.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, this is in case your identity gets compromised if somebody steals your identity. So, yeah, because they've breached your security.
Do they also get like a 1-year subscription to the CAFI for all of their systems?
I'd say they need something. I hope
they did.
I can't say what I was going. I cannot say what I was going to say.
So what the company?
I was going to say off the air later.
That's good. The company that they sell the year of identity protection. They have to go to someone to purchase that and then give those out to people.
I don't know what
that would be how it works. But that company should say, right, you've reached 10,000 licenses to our system, so we're going to send you a bulk office license of McAfee now because you clearly need
it. Well, it should be something along the lines of, here's a coupon, download this software, and it should be as simple as that.
Yeah, but so the company that's supplying the coupon should also supply antivirus software.
Indeed, they should.
They need something.
Okay.
Do you remember a couple of months ago, maybe a few weeks ago, we were talking about LG's brand spanking new high-end Android Wear watch, the LG G-Watch.
And I've seen it actually selling on special during the week.
Well, do you know why?
Tell me.
It's gone. LG has cancelled its rollout, and they've cited hardware issues with the watch that apparently affect its day-to-day operation.
So the battery doesn't work.
Let's come back to the battery thing on Android Wear. So the watch was scheduled to go on sale in the US this week, but it was sold last week by AT&T, and LG says that they might release it in the future, but for now they have an issue that they need to look at.
Okay, so what's the battery issue then?
So on battery life, I hate watches that have proprietary charging ports.
Oh, yes.
Which my LG G Watch R, which is on my wrist at the moment, does. I have to put it in a cradle. I forgot when I went to Adelaide?
Oh, you forgot the cradle.
But that's why I don't take my Motorola 360 with me when I travel, because I've got to take the cradle for that.
Well, any Qi charger would work with that, so that's a little bit.
It uses
Qi wireless charging.
Any
Qi charger will work with that.
Will it?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be that weird stand up dock. But on the battery life issue with this, I realized on the plane on the way to Adelaide I didn't have the charger. No, it was fine actually. So I had 69% battery when I took off, and so I immediately turned off ambient display on the watch, and I put my phone into do not disturb mode, which I'm using a Sony Z5. And so my do not disturb mode allows me to bypass alarms with that. Allows alarms to bypass it. So I can basically make my phone quiet except for alarms. And that then has the knock-on effect of making my watch not vibrate or beep or do anything. And so it still receives notifications. Okay, I turned the ambient screen off and I turned the brightness down to 1. And in one day, I used 20% battery.
There you go.
So when I came back to Sydney, I still had a functioning watch. It even still worked with the screen off. If I used the wrist flick gesture, it would still show me the time.
Very good. I'm impressed.
It was really good. You can definitely stretch these watches out to last 3, maybe 3.5 or 4 days.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I bow to your superior technology skills.
My battery management skills.
That's it.
Indeed. Panasonic introducing some new firmware to a lot of their cameras. To their 4K cameras.
Are they DSLRs?
No, these are compact system cameras.
Okay, yeah.
And it's what they're describing as a creative, easy-to-use post-focus mode.
So this sounds a little bit like Lytro letting you refocus after the fact.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly. So you take your photo, it goes through and takes an image of all of the focal lengths, all of the focal points that it can within the frame, and you can then refocus your image later.
Oh, look, I need one. My photos are always out of focus.
This is what I thought when Lytro first came out. Unfortunately, Lytro was like limited in its initial release by being just a 1 megapixel image. But if you could make that technology work properly on, you know, like a decent
camera,
kind of thing, something in that's, you know, of a comparable megapixel output to a DSLR.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, wedding photographers would not be as stressed out as they are. Like, if you miss the moment, if you don't get the focus right, you can just fix it.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. I really love the idea of Lytro and refocusing cameras, but up until now they've left me a little bit cold. I actually really want to check out the new Lytro stuff that they've been doing.
Right.
They're on their third generation now.
You're looking like you might have something to say, Dee.
Oh, I've got nothing to say.
You have nothing to say.
No.
Okay.
Well,
except that'd be really good for me.
Right. I've got two potential items here for the useless gadget of the week. But what I do have here that is very, very interesting is a useless government initiative.
No. Oh, useless government initiative. Sorry. I thought you could have just stopped at government.
Well,
useless government.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I can. In New Zealand. And I'm sure that June's ears have pricked up now. The Revenue Minister, Todd McClay, has claimed that the changes proposed in their new taxation... Wait, this just rolls off the tongue.
Let's go.
This just rolls off the tongue.
We're going in.
Taxation. Residential land withholding tax, GST on online services and student loans. Bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do they not have a silly acronym for it like they do in the States all the time?
Not yet, no.
Oh.
No. This is going to introduce GST on some digital goods, but the fun part is that those caught using a virtual private network to avoid paying the GST are going to be subject to a fine of up to $25,000.
So hang on, so...
Yeah, you've got it already.
So they're saying that if you use a VPN, so if you live in New Zealand,
yes,
and you want to purchase from, let's say Amazon, even though Amazon never ships anything outside of the States, but let's say Amazon, they're going to make Amazon charge GST.
Amazon do ship out of the States, but yes.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is that if the merchant that you're purchasing from knows that you're in New Zealand, they'll charge you GST. But if you use a VPN to make it look like you're not in New Zealand...
If you use a VPN
for
the specific purpose of avoiding paying the GST, that's not the same as making it look like you're not in New Zealand.
How would a VPN make you avoid paying the GST other than making you look like you're not in New Zealand?
Oh, that's a very good question, Jason. I'm glad you asked that one.
Well, unless your policy is to always have a VPN on your network, I don't know. So let's say you're in New Zealand and you use Netflix.
Let's take the Netflix example.
Yeah.
You're using your VPN to make it look like you're not in New Zealand.
But you're not doing it to avoid paying GST.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm saying.
You're with the program.
But that's what I'm saying. If you switch your VPN on to make a purchase from an online retailer in order to avoid paying GST, and then you switch it off again, then, you know, that's it. You're done and, you know, you're going to go to jail or something. But if you happen to be using a VPN all day long because that's just, you know, you're paranoid about security and your government monitoring you, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. But wouldn't you think that they would just charge the GST as the item gets delivered to you? Oh, no, it's digital goods. Okay, fair enough.
Digital goods, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is movies, which is software, all sorts of things.
Yeah, so that gets even weirder.
I know.
I know, it's great, isn't it? It's
What's your next story, Jason?
More driverless cars.
Oh, okay, go with
it. I don't know why I always turn up the news, because I don't drive. But... Nevertheless, let's proceed. Hyundai has announced...
Maybe there's a message here for you, Jason.
That I will not have to drive because there will be driverless
cars.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a
good message.
I will continue to not get a license.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are safe.
If you don't like my driving, stay off the footpath.
Yes.
So Hyundai has announced that it will spend nearly $10 billion Now, that's US dollars, so we're talking about $120 billion Australian dollars, given the Aussie dollar at the moment. They're going to spend $10 billion on research and development for driverless cars over the next 5 years. Now, they want partially autonomous cars by the end of the decade, and they want fully driverless vehicles in the next 15 years.
Right.
Now, the R&D...
That's likely to happen in a shorter time than that, although Hyundai may be...
May not be from the Hyundai, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Last week we talked about the Faraday car, about the company.
Yeah.
Apparently they're getting ready to make their first announcement in the next week or two.
Are they going to be announcing that they're going to announce goods in form of announcement before the end of the year?
Well, in terms of that, I got a press release from Nikon this week announcing...
Nikon.
I got a press release from Nikon announcing that they're announcing the Nikon D5.
Driverless cars.
No, this is a new camera. This is a top end. This is going to be their flagship SLR. It's going to replace or... It's going to be better than the D4.
Isn't the announcement that they're going to announce something an announcement in itself?
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah.
But they announced absolutely nothing about what the camera's going to do or...
Oh, no, of course not. Why would you do that?
That's right. No. Okay, I'm going to play some music.
Okay. Oh, I've got some news.
Oh, you got some news? I'm sorry.
Car news.
Car news, okay.
More car news.
Yeah, yeah. Good. You know the Tesla?
Yes.
We've heard of it.
Yeah. They're doing a voluntary recall on one particular model, which is a Model S.
I was going to say, they only have two models.
There's like 90,000 of them in the world, right?
Which is quite a lot considering how long Tesla's been around. It's actually quite a successful car.
So 90,000, if you want to voluntarily send it back, because they had a problem with the seatbelt.
No, the voluntary recall means that they're volunteering to do the recall as opposed to the government saying, do it.
That's what a voluntary recall means.
So apparently just because one person had a problem with the seatbelt.
On the subject of one person having a problem with something in their car, we'd have to be remiss in noting...
No, we would be remiss.
We'd have to be remiss if we failed to observe last week while driving just off Lygon Street in Carlton... one leader of the opposition who spilled coffee on himself and crashed his car into two parked vehicles.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah.
It's quite impressive.
You got to do it. If you're going to do something, do it well. Speaking of doing it well, this is Edith Piaf and La Vie en Rose.
Hold me close and hold me fast. The magic spell you cast. This is La Vie en Rose. When you kiss me, heaven sighs. And though I close my eyes, I see La Vie en Rose. When you press me to your heart, I'm in a world apart, a world where roses bloom. And when you speak and sing from above, everyday words seem to turn into love songs. Give your heart and soul to me, and life will always be La Vie en Rose. I thought that love was just a word they sang about in songs I heard. It took your kisses to reveal that I was wrong, and love is real.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM. 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet. We are at www.radio2rdj.com. If you want to ring us, the phone number is 97440881. Now, Jason
I hope the phone rings.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You never know your luck in a big city.
I'll duck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what your mobile phone is for, isn't it?
Well, more news, is it?
We're going to continue with the news because there is so much going on at the moment, Jason.
I've got a few Google items from this week.
Okay. Did you Google them?
I did not.
Okay.
Google redesigned its Google Plus social network this week, which delighted all 10 of its users.
Both of them?
Well, yeah. That's,
you're being generous, I know.
I'm being generous. Like, there are more than 10 users on Google Plus, because I am one of them, so it means there's at least 11. So the new Google Plus...
I'm not, so it's back down to 10. Well, I am.
You don't use anything.
I do. I use Twitter, as you know.
I don't. Yeah, you use Twitter, but you don't use Facebook or Google Plus.
God, no. Of course not. I do use LinkedIn. All right,
let's talk about what Google Plus is.
Okay. I'm listening. I'm all ears, Jason.
Okay. So the new Google Plus, it focuses on communities and collections, which are arguably the things that have always been Google Plus's strong points, at least in the case of communities. So I'm a member of a lot of communities on Google Plus.
Okay.
And so I'm also a member of a lot of groups on Facebook, and Google Plus is much, much better at it. It just doesn't have the number of users.
Certainly
that Facebook
Google
does.
Hangouts is a very useful piece of software.
Well, so Hangouts is no longer a part of Google Plus.
I know.
Yeah. But the new Google Plus is faster and lighter, follows Google's material design guidelines, and there's new iOS and Android apps. They started rolling out this week, so if you are a Google Plus user, then check for updates because you should find the new app on there. Now, the interesting thing with that, since you mentioned it, is that Hangouts is not built into the new Google Plus experience.
Well, I noticed on Android about 3 weeks ago, Hangouts widget disappeared.
Oh, yes, the Hangouts widget stopped working a long time ago, unfortunately.
Yeah.
A lot of people like it, but Google felt that the adoption of it wasn't really enough to keep it going. But they've actually gone through. They're now in the fifth version of Hangouts for Android phones, so there's a chance they might remember that they were supposed to have a widget and put it back in a future version.
I find it useful.
Hangouts is very useful when it works.
Yes.
So some other Google
I'll tell you in the car on the way home, Dee.
Okay. It was a bit odd. Okay, so another Google news this week. Photos saw an update that allows some users to reclaim their storage space back and save a bit of money. Google's Photos service allows you to store unlimited photos for free at 16 megapixels recompressed by their service. But if you uploaded some images and stored them at their native resolution in their native file format, then there's now a tool to actually allow you to recompress them and delete the originals and take back that space.
Right.
So if you're running out of space in your Google Drive, that might be an option for you. But the other thing that I thought they did this week that was really cool with Google Photos is that they updated the app to say, right, well, the app's going to look at all of the photos on your phone and go, yeah, I've actually uploaded these onto Google Photos, so you can delete them from your phone now. And so if you've got...
that's a good idea.
Yeah,
if you then delete them from Google Photos.
That would probably not be their problem at that point.
No, I agree, it's not their problem.
But if you've got a phone that's got, you know, 8 or 16 gigs of space on it and you take a lot of photos, then your photos are going to start filling up all your space. So Google Photos, a lot of apps have done backup of your photos for a while, like I think Dropbox does it.
Yep.
Google Plus does it, although Google Photos does it now. And there's a bunch of other apps that do it as well. But none of them actually go to the point of saying, right, well, I've backed this up so you can actually take that space back on your phone now. I think that's a really good move.
It is.
It's something I've been waiting for.
Just one word of caution on that, of course, is if you're going to upload 16 gigs of photos to your...
Don't do it on cellular data.
Well, don't do it exactly. Don't do it on your cellular. Certainly not in the one day.
That is up to how you configure your backup service.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Some Google news.
Interesting. Sunglasses.
Like them? They've done well over the years.
They have indeed.
Yeah.
With summer coming up, I received a press release this week from the Vision Eye Institute.
Yeah.
And giving us 7 tips to buying the perfect sunglasses for summer.
Right. This sounds like a good idea.
It sounds like a very good idea, which is why I thought we should... we should just cover them quickly. Check the classification. Strictly rated P for protection. Anything sold for eyewear must be labelled according to the Australian and New Zealand standards. Category 0 and 1 are considered fashion spectacles. 0 provides limited UV. 1 will provide limited sun glare reduction and UV protection. Category 2, a medium level of sun glare reduction and good UV protection. Category 3, a good level of UV protection and a high level of sun glare reduction. And Category 4, special purpose sunglasses that provide a very high level of sun glare reduction and good UV protection. Colour-wise, darker lenses may look more fashionable, but that has absolutely nothing to do with the level of protection. Grey, green and brown lenses will offer you the best colour perception, which can help when, and this is important for you, Jason, can help when you're driving on a sunny day.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I like brown.
It probably helps me on the bike as well.
Absolutely.
I don't see that much of a difference.
Yep, you're quite right. Bigger is better. Wraparound sunglasses are the best for extended outdoor periods, like on a bushwalk.
Yeah, but you look like a sick pervert when you wear them.
Or a cricket player.
I wear them on my bike.
Cost doesn't count. Obviously, you'll have a budget, but you can get a $10 pair of glasses with good UV protection and spend $1,000 on ones that don't.
All right, so my current pair of sunglasses, I think I spent $18 for them, and they're a Cancer Council approved model.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't get hung up on the term polarized. They can cut down on glare and haze, but not necessarily on UV.
No, that's right. Mm.
Start young. Oh, dear.
Yeah, you got to have them for your bubby.
No. Well, yeah, it's for your bubby. Mm. But the sooner you wear sunglasses, wear shot.
And make them, let's move on to the next tip.
Finally, make them a daily habit. Harmful sun can happen on a cloudy day in winter, not just in summer.
And this is definitely a good point because I don't wear my sunglasses all the time when I go out. And I wear
mine in the shops because they're prescription, and I always forget my regular prescription glasses.
You wear them in
so
the shops.
I wear them in the shop so I can see what I'm looking at.
It just looks like you had a big night.
I'm so cool.
Last story, please, Jason, if you've got one.
We talked about the Chinese drone manufacturer DJI a few weeks ago.
Yes.
They took an ownership stake in Hasselblad. Now, they've got some new technology this week that they've been talking about. They're adapting this technology that we call geofencing, which is on your phone. It's something that allows your phone to do something when you reach a particular area. And what DJI is planning to do is to build this into their drone software so that their drones will not be allowed to fly over airports because their drones will know that they're at airports. And so they won't fly into restricted areas and they won't fly over government buildings and other areas of security concern.
That's a good idea.
That sounds very good.
Yeah. So it sounds good until you get to the point where you are allowed to switch off the restriction.
Oh, my goodness.
If you have a verified DJI account.
Nice idea while it lasted.
And even if you do have a verified DJI account, you will not be able to turn off the restrictions about flying near government buildings.
Exactly.
Now, what this also means, however, is that if someone at the White House wants to put on a function and they want to get overhead footage of their function from a drone that they might fly nearby, it won't be a DJI drone because they won't be able to switch off their restrictions and their drone won't launch.
Right.
So, for official government business, DJI may have just shot themselves in the foot.
Okay. This is D.
Really?
D. Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, D.D. Bridgewater.
D.D. Bridgewater. Nima quitte pa.
Oublier le temps des malentendus et le temps perdu à savoir comment. Oublier ces heures qui tuaient parfois à coup de pourquoi le cœur de bonheur. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Moi je t'offrirai des perles de pluie venant de pays où il ne pleut pas. Je creuserai la terre jusqu'après ma mort pour couvrir ton corps d'or et de lumière. Je ferai un domaine où l'amour sera loin, où tu seras roi, où je serai reine. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Ces amants-là qui ont vu deux fois leur cœur s'embrasser. Je te raconterai l'histoire de ce roi mort de n'avoir pas pu te rencontrer. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas.
You're back with the Gadget Girl on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
So am I. So is Didi.
I am too.
Okay, we're all back.
We're all back.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about VR, virtual reality. We touched on it last week, but this week I saw something very, very interesting, and it struck me as though this is something that we should have a quick discussion on.
Let's definitely talk about this. So, virtual reality.
Virtual reality, and the New York Times have got a virtual reality app.
Hmm.
What the New York Times have done is, for their subscribers, if you're a New York Times subscriber, you will have received a free Google Cardboard reader. You can use this with your Android phone, with certain Android phones. You can use it, I think, with your iPhone now as well. And
I'm actually just installing it on my phone now.
There you go. And they're providing some very, very interesting content. And some of the content that I looked at during the week is they've created a little app or a video of people in mourning after the Paris attacks.
Hmm.
And this is people standing at the various places outside the cafes in the Place de la Concorde and a few other places. And you watch this through your VR viewer, and you've got 360-degree 3D view of what they've given you. And
it doesn't have to be Paris either. They can be news gathering anywhere.
Exactly. Hmm. And that is the point.
But it's like you're standing there.
As you look around, you see people, you look up, there's the sky.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody down there on the left lighting a candle. There's a guy in front of you who's playing a guitar, and you've got the sound. It is very immersive. And I'm wondering whether this is where news gathering of the future is going to be. I think it's fascinating that it's New York Times that have done this as well. So
New York Times is very well known for having quite a good budget for experimenting with new ways of collecting the news and reporting it and getting it out there.
Yeah.
I've just installed the app. What it does is it lets you actually. It's called NYTVR.
Yes.
You go and look for it in Google Play or in the iPhone App Store, And it gives you a list of all of the content that they've published and lets you stream the video onto your handset. You don't need to have a VR headset either. You can just use it in smartphone mode
exactly.
And it won't do the 3D effect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the Manhattan Transfer Operator.
Information. Information. Give me long distance. Long distance. Give me air.
1, 2, 3. Oh, operator.
Operator.
Information.
Information.
Give me Jesus.
On the line.
It's our favourite time of the evening here on the Gadget Grill, where we find something that is perhaps less than useful.
We already did the New Zealand government's chance.
I know. I have two other things here today. Now, Jason, you're already aware of what one of them is, so are you, Dee, which is the motorised picnic table.
Oh,
yes,
wonderful.
It's a new invention out of Perth this week. Photographed many times by enough people that you might think it was a stunt that was set up at the one traffic light.
And these people are driving around on their picnic tables. Got to have a barbecue attached to it, I think.
Can you charge it off USB?
I have no idea. The other one that I have, and I'm not sure whether this is useless or actually useful. Dee, you've had kids.
I have.
I've had kids as well.
Yeah.
Really? It doesn't show.
I know. Okay. Christmas.
Yeah.
The kids have unpacked their presents.
Yeah.
Included in the presents was some Lego.
Oh, no.
Lego pieces strewn all over the place. What is the worst experience you can imagine?
Stepping on one. It's awful.
So, the Lego firm itself has come up with special slippers that are Lego.
You're joking.
No, I am not.
At what cost?
I was hoping that it was going to be like an autonomous Lego kit that will pick itself up.
They've made 1,500 pairs of the slippers and they're going to give them away for free at random to people who created a wish list through their website.
Oh,
so if you want to have a pair of Lego-proof slippers, go to the Lego website.
Are they like concrete bottoms or something?
They probably have like Lego boards as the bottom, so that if you step on something, you pick it up.
Besides being super comfortable,
yeah.
They take the shape and colours of the iconic brand.
Oh, so maybe that's not actually what they do.
I don't know.
That's a pretty useless gadget.
It's either very useless very useful.
But getting back to your VR wear, I was thinking when you were talking about, all I could think about was that movie, The Grass Lawnmower
Man.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was quite a long time ago.
He made every single phone number ring in the world.
That's,
okay.
Yeah.
We've got to finish. We're out of time.
Already?
We are, yep.
Yeah. This is Tito Puente. Oye, como va?
Nice. See you next week.
Take care. I'm the professor. Take care.